27. Stepping out of the trenches. Mr. Socrates had been part of the great siege of Sevastopol during the Crimean War. He remembered the back-breaking labour of digging trenches on one side of the Russian port city, while their comrades, the French, dug trenches on the opposite side. Summer passed, fall, winter, spring. Then another summer, fall, and winter. The harsh weather and the long months had been horrible for morale. And then, when they felt Sevastopol had been truly weakened by shelling and starvation, they rose up from their trenches and charged the city. Now he would rise again. Hiding in Montreal had been necessary, but the time had come to act. Step out of the trench he had dug around himself and charge into the unknown. He was beginning to feel at home in Montreal. The food, the newness of the buildings, the energy of a colony. He could comfortably spend his last years here, away from the hurly-burly of London. But being comfortable was wrong. He had to live with the heart of a soldier, moving from camp to camp, and be ready to charge the enemy at a moment's notice. And above all, it was time to follow his instinct. And so he sent out several telegrams, packed a kit bag and luggage, and had Tharper order a carriage to the docks. He left Mrs. Finchley to keep Montreal House in good order. "Guard it with your life," he said. "You're the last bastion of our part of the association." She nodded and smiled sardonically. "I shall fight the cobwebs and the mice until my final breath." They looked at each other, smiling grimly. How many years had he known her? 20? Then she said, almost defiantly, "You give Modo and Octavia my love." "I most certainly will not," he said. "They are agents, not our children. Your children." Her smile was curious.
"They belong to us either way. And you know that."
He stomped away from her. Women. He could not fathom the pathways of their minds. Minutes later, he and Tharper were in their carriage, rolling towards the docks. He took the wireless telegraph and folders of reports with him. He had received updates from cook and footman, and the latest was the most exciting. A telegram saying that they'd discovered a mysterious shipyard hidden on the coast of China. It had no flags of any country, and most of the workers were European. It was most likely a Clockwork Guild shipyard. But how to give the Guild a hammer blow? He did have one ace in his deck, an experiment that, from all reports, was coming to fruition. It was waiting on Vancouver Island, on a patch of land deeded to the association by a retired general. It had been part of Mr. Socrates' long-term plan. Intuition told him he was making the right decision. This new weapon, these new weapons, would be a sabre to the heart of the Guild. He thought again of the siege of Sevastopol, of how he and his regiment had charged those walls under harrowing cannon and rifle fire. It had been a failure on the British side, he remembered with a bitter laugh. But the French broke through on the other side, and by nightfall they were all in the quarters of a dead Russian general, drinking his vodka.